Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to take a classic Jungle Air horn one-shot and make it feel like a performance, not a copy-pasted sample. The vibe we're aiming for is hype, intentional, and mix-ready. And we're doing it with an automation-first workflow in Ableton Live 12, with a mastering mindset. When I say mastering here, I don't mean you're mastering the whole track on the horn channel. I mean you're treating the horn like a featured element that needs to sound finished and consistent, controlled peaks, clear presence, and no weird low end that steals headroom from the actual master limiter. Alright, let's set it up. First, prep the sample like a pro. Drag your air horn sample onto an audio track. For one shot, you usually want warp off. If you absolutely need it locked to the grid, use beats mode, transient mode, but keep it gentle. Horns can get crunchy fast if you overwarp. Now in clip view, add a tiny fade in. 2 to 8 milliseconds is enough. That's just click prevention. And gain stage right now, before any processing. Your goal is peak sitting around minus 12 to minus 6 dB. That's not quiet, that's healthy. You're giving the saturator and limiter room to work without immediately flattening the sound. Now let's build the mastering style chain. All stock devices, in this order. First, EQ8. High pass the horn. Jungle horns often have a bunch of low rumble that feels cool soloed, but in drum and bass it fights the sub and it makes your master pump. So set a 24 dB per octave high pass somewhere around 120 to 200 HE. Use your ears. If the horn feels thin, back off. If the master starts breathing every time the horn hits, push the cut higher. If the horn sounds honky, add a small notch somewhere around 600 to 900 HE, just 2 to 4 dB, medium Q. And if you need it to cut on small speakers, a gentle presence lift around 4 to 7 kHz, 1 to 3 dB. Don't overdo it. We're going to automate brightness later. Next, saturator. Pick soft sine or analog clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Then adjust output so the level matches when you bypass it. This matters. If it gets louder, you'll think it's better even if it's worse. Next, glue compressor. This is not for pumping. This is for control. Set attack about 3 milliseconds. Release auto or about 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1. Bring the threshold down until your loudest horn hits get maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Makeup off. We'll manage level manually. Next, limiter. Ceiling at minus 1 dB. Then add gain until you see maybe 1 to 4 dB of reduction on the hottest hits. The key phrase is, hottest hits. If it's clamping down constantly, the horn will actually feel smaller and flatter. Finally, utility. Start width at 100%. If the horn is messy, pull it down to like 70 to 90%. If it needs extra hype later, that's something we can automate briefly, but we want to stay club safe. So that's your chain. Now the workflow shift. Automation first. Instead of cutting up audio and micro editing first, we're going to draw the performance gestures into automation lanes and then let the processing react to those gestures. That's the secret sauce. If you shape the horn first, then set compression and limiting after, your processors support your envelope instead of erasing it. Go into arrangement view, and show automation lanes for a few key things. Track volume. In EQ8, either a high shelf gain or a bell around 5 to 7 kHz, something that controls bite, saturator drive, utility width, and a reverb send, because jungle without throws is like a snare without attitude. Let's set up returns for reverb. This is worth it. Create return and call it horn verb. Put hybrid reverb on it. Use a decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds, pre-delay 15 to 35 milliseconds, so the horn stays forward. High pass inside the reverb around 200 to 400 Hz, and low pass around 7 to 10 kHz so it doesn't hiss on top of your break. After that, add an EQ8 if you need extra cleanup. Create return be called horn space or horn room. Hybrid reverb again, but a short room. Decay around 0.3 to 0.7 seconds, pre-delay 0 to 10 milliseconds, and high pass 250 to 500 Hz. This is place, not wash. Now we humanize with three layers of movement, timing, level, tone, and then space as the extra sauce. First, micro timing. Jungle is tight, but the human moments are what sell it. Pick a couple horn hits and nudge them late by 5 to 18 milliseconds. That reads like an MC trigger, like someone actually fired it in the moment. Then maybe one hit slightly early, like minus 5 to minus 10 milliseconds, especially if it lands right before a snare. Early feels like tension. Late feels like swagger. Do it sparingly so it feels intentional, not sloppy. Second, level automation. This is the most important one. Don't draw a square block. A real horn blast has a push and then a release. For each hit, draw a quick ramp up over about 10 to 30 milliseconds. Then a short hold, 50 to 150 milliseconds. Then a fade down, 150 to 400 milliseconds depending on the tail. And if you have repeated horns, vary them on purpose. 1 to 3.5 dB differences are enough. Your goal is not randomness, it's character, ghost hits, normal hits, and then the reload moment. Here's a great structure. In the first 16 bars, keep horns lower and darker. At the first drop, do one statement horn. Then every 32 bars, do a bigger reload horn with a longer tail and a reverb throw. That's classic. Now, use Live 12 automation shapes to make it believable. Right-click an automation segment and try curve shapes. For the rise, a slightly convex curve reads like pressure hitting fast then easing into the peak. For the decay, a slightly concave curve reads like you're letting go and it falls away naturally. That little detail is the difference between automation and gesture. Third, tone automation. This is where the ear gets tricked into hearing different performances, even when it's the same sample. Option 1. Automate an EQ shelf around 6 to 8 kHz. In builds or verses, keep it darker, maybe minus 2 dB. On the drop or impact moments, bring it up to plus 2 dB. In heavy DNB, tone changes are often more noticeable than pure level changes, because the mid-range is crowded and the limiter is already doing work. Option 2. Automate saturator drive. Normal hits might sit around 3 dB drive. Hype hits, push it up to 5 to 7 dB. That adds urgency without simply turning up the fader and stealing headroom. Now space automation, the jungle throw technique. Most of the time, keep your horn verb send pretty low. Think minus 18 to minus 12 dB. Then for throw moments, like the end of an 8 or 16 bar phrase, spike the send up quickly, maybe to minus 6 or even minus 3, and then pull it back within a quarter to half a bar. And here's the classic move. Right after you do that send spike, pull down the dry horn level quickly, so the reverb tail becomes the transition and the dry hit doesn't sit there masking your next snare fill. If the throw muddies your mix, duck the reverb return. Put a compressor on the horn verb return and sidechain it from your drum bus. Ratio 4 to 1. Fast attack like 1 to 3 milliseconds, release 150 to 300 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of ducking when the drums hit. Now the reverb feels huge in the gaps but doesn't blur the groove. Next, stereo movement, but without destroying mono. Automate utility width subtly. Normal hits, 80 to 100%. Special hype hits, briefly ramp to 110 to 130% for an eighth note to a quarter note. If it starts sounding facey, pull it back. Club systems and mono compatibility still matter. If you want extra life, you can put autopan before utility. Very subtle. Amount 10 to 20%. Rate 0.10 to 0.25 Hz. Slow drift. Phase 180 degrees. The point is not to wobble. It's to stop repeated hits from feeling stamped. Now let's talk about tail control, because this is where a lot of people end up chopping audio and losing the vibe. If the horn tail rings into something important, like a snare fill, don't immediately trim the clip every time. Automate the tail to obey the groove. Two easy ways. 1. Add a gate on the dry horn track and set it gently so it tucks the sustain a bit without chopping the attack. Or 2. Automate the limiter gain down just for the tail. Keep the initial hit forward, but let the sustain sit down and stop smearing. Now do a headroom check that actually reveals the problem. Instead of fully soloing the horn, do a solo and play style check. Keep drums and bass audible while you focus on the horn, and watch your master limiter gain reduction. If the limiter suddenly clamps down mainly when the horn hits, the horn is stealing loudness budget. Fix it by removing sub-energy, tightening the attack, or shifting hype into brightness and width instead of pure level. This is a big mindset shift. The loudness anchor in drum and bass is usually your drums and bass. The horn is punctuation. It should feel loud, but it shouldn't bully the limiter. Now, for speed. Macro map it. Select your horn devices and group them. Command or Control G. Map a few macros. Hit level, ideally utility gain. Bite, your EQ shelf. Dirt, saturator drive. Pro, your send day. Width, utility width. And tail, either gate release or limiter gain. Now you can automate macros instead of 5 different lanes, and the whole performance becomes readable at a glance. Quick advanced validation if you want extra impact without upsetting the master. Parallel impact lane. Duplicate the horn track and call it horn impact. High pass higher, like 250 to 400 Hz. Then saturate and limit it harder, and keep reverb minimal. Blend it in only on key hits with volume automation. the perceived loudness jumps, but the peak energy often increases less than you'd think, so your master stays calmer. All right, mini practice exercise. 8 bars. Put your project at 170 to 174 BPM with a rolling break and sub. Place horn hits at bar 1 beat 4 as a pickup, bar 3 beat 1, bar 5 beat 3, and bar 8 beat 4 as the big throw. Humanize it. Nudge 2 hits late by about 10 milliseconds. Nudge 1 hit early by about 7 milliseconds. Draw different volume envelopes for each hit, different shapes. Keep the EQ shelf darker for bars 1 through 7, then brighten on bar 8. Do a reverb throw only on bar 8. Fast send spike, quick return. Then bounce a quick export and test it on headphones and a small speaker at low volume. The horn should be audible without masking the snare, and the master shouldn't suddenly pump just because the horn happened. Let's wrap it up. Treat the air horn like a featured performance. Start with an automation-first workflow, level, tone, and space. Then let your mastering style chain make it consistent. EQ into saturation into compression into limiting into utility. Use reverb throws for contrast, not constant wash. Keep low end out of the horn. And remember, sometimes the most hype move is not turning it up, but making it brighter, slightly wider, and timed like a human triggered it.